We'll have our clerk just read out some instructions to the group and give them the spiel.
Good evening, everyone. All persons who wish to speak or receive notice of the hearing body's decision recommendation must fill out a public representation form and submit it to me as soon as possible. Copies of this are available at the table if you haven't already done so. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, the process the committee will follow is the applicant will be heard first, followed by those in support of the application, next those registered in opposition are heard, followed by those registered for information. Finally, the applicant may return if he or she so desires and speak in rebuttal. Please note that when your name is called, it is your opportunity to speak, however, you're not obligated to do so. This is the public hearing process brochure, copies of which are available at the table. This brochure contains an overview of the process and other information pertaining to what happens before, during, and after a public hearing. As information, all public hearings are recorded and will be part of the public record. Should you have any questions after the public hearing is concluded, please contact the City Clerk's Department at the number listed in the brochure. Item number one is a zoning agreement amendment for 2190 McGilvery Boulevard under file ZAA 2 of 2011. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following item will be also heard at the same time. Item 2 is a variance at 2190 McGilvery Boulevard under file DAV 128172 of 2011. Councillor Fielding.
Okay, we'll first call the applicant up. I believe it's Mark Olson. Mark, if I get you, put your name and address for the record. I see that Kevin Olson is here too. Will you be speaking as well? Okay. Okay.
And is there, is this mic, is that part of the
okay. Good evening. And I guess maybe a little early for good evening, but thank you for having us here tonight and getting this hearing on the way. My name is Mark Olson. I'm the president of 544-7471 Manitoba, address Unit 2C, 2020 Portage Avenue, R3J0K4. We are the co-developers of this site at 2190 McGilvery Avenue, and we are responsible for the redevelopment of the project. Currently, the property has Cinema City on the site, and will soon be home to Winnipeg's newest Shoppers Drug Mart. There are two applications in front of you, as Visa mentioned, and the applications deal with one of the issues is that the original developer of the property built the parking lot encroaching into the side yard, and we're here to try and amend that the zoning agreement to actually allow that to take place. The parking lot is already in place already in that area, and there is a mature tree, evergreen trees that are aligning the back of the property. I brought some pictures along if you so wish to see them. The other application is to vary the side yard to 10 feet, which will allow our buildings to shift more to the west. And my name was on the placard and received two different calls from two different people. I returned both calls. One, I left a message, and the other, I dealt with some of the issues that the person had. The issue, both issues were dealing with traffic or parking on the site. And basically, the issue that we brought in front of you today actually allows us to enhance our parking, not reduce it. If our buildings are pushed, if we're not allowed to move to the side yard, actually on the other side of our property, which we've approved at a previous meeting, a zero lot line on the east side. This west side has a side yard that we need to push the buildings more to the west, which allow us to maintain the parking on the site. If the building has to be pushed farther to the east, it'll encroach into the parking. There'll be less parking on the site. That was sort of, I realize this is not a parking hearing, but I think for explanation, that's why these applications are in front of you for a hearing today.
And you got some glossies, Mark?
Yeah, I have some pictures of it, actually.
Mark, you said you got two two calls. One was on traffic.
Yes.
And what was the other? Or were they both?
They were both talking about parking on.
Parking, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, parking
issues. Just the shortage?
They're concerned. I mean, I'm sure they'll voice they're probably here today, but the issue that was brought up to me was that they're concerned about the redevelopment of the site and there not being enough parking on site was really the issue.
Okay.
And this application actually enhances the parking, not takes away from the parking.
It enhances it by, like,
by allowing your buildings to move farther to the outside and maintaining the parking within the parking lot itself. The buildings have to be shifted farther to the east. They'll encroach into the parking area themselves.
Yeah. Okay. Any more to add, Mark?
That's it. I'll answer questions. I'll stand down and answer questions to many of the people that have any questions for us.
Do you have any questions for us?
One and two.
Both, yeah, both at the same both time combined. Yeah. We've got to go through the process of samples.
Do you have any questions right now, Councillor Hudson?
So, Mark, you know the process, obviously, so we'll just, you know, this is your time to get all the information out. The people that are in opposition, once they come, I think there's actually another person in support, but then it's your opportunity to respond to any of their concerns at that point. So let's hear what they have to say. And, okay.
I believe there's one other person in support. I'm sorry, I've got it right here.
Michael McKay. Okay, are you just want to register in support, sir? Okay, fair enough, thank you.
Okay.
Is there anyone else here to speak in support of either the zoning agreement or the variance? No one? Okay. We understand there's some people in opposition. First one is Gary Edgar.
Yes.
Okay, would you like to make a come up and give your name and address for the record, sir, and then what your concerns are, and I think Mr. Olson will be busy copying his notes down in terms of what your concerns and questions might be, and we'll get him to respond back to
him. Great. First off, before I begin with that, given that Mr. Olson has an opportunity for rebuttal, I'm expecting that I would be afforded the same opportunity.
No. Our process allows the applicant to come up to make a presentation. At that point, they give all the new information. Then the people that are in opposition to the zoning variance, they make their presentation. So it's important to get all your information out at that point, and then Mr. Olson, who is the applicant, can come up and respond. Okay. So that is our process. So
all right. Good. I'll start by giving my name, then. It's Gary Edgar. I reside at 15 Meadowbank Road in the city of Winnipeg, Manitoba,
okay,
which is directly behind the property that Mr. Olson is proposing to have variance and amendments provided for. Mr. Olson is suggesting that he spoke to two individuals. I know that I was one of them, and I can most assuredly confirm or advise you that my issue that I spoke to Mr. Olson of was not parking, not whatsoever. I called Mr. Olson initially because I wanted to get some information as exactly what was being proposed and what the development purposes were going to be.
Okay.
It was at that point that he informed me of the Shoppers Drug Mart development, which I had absolutely no knowledge of. Following that, I attempted to contact my counselor. I yet to receive a call back from her, but I did speak with your planner.
Right.
Planner, who I found to be very informative and very forthright, informed me that really that this is really a case of the city not exercising due diligence in the first place. The due diligence that was lacked was that the site was overdeveloped. Now, one may argue that's not Mr. Olson's fault. He's informed us that he's the second owner of that property.
Right.
Notwithstanding that, however, the one thing that my understanding of bylaws and zoning is that it's created by the city with the intent and purpose of providing for regulations for those to be abiding by,
okay,
both commercial and residential.
Right.
Along those lines, when you're in a community where there's going to be a mix of commercial and residential use there, essentially, typically, from my experience, bylaws and zoning is in place to provide a buffer, if you may, or a space so that residents can be there, and they can have a buffer that separates them from the commercial residents.
Okay.
The one thing that we've also witnessed throughout this this case here is that properties do change hands. So what one property developer may be exercising changes from one to the other.
Okay.
Now, in the case of this one here, the city should have actually been in place there to make sure that this property was actually developed to the extent that it was allowed for. They weren't. when I went to my neighbor, throughout my neighborhood, and by the way, we're underrepresented here because these hearings are held at the most inopportune times. 5 p.m. on a business day when the taxpayers, thank you, when the taxpayers that are here are looking for an opportunity to speak are not provided access. And furthermore, to be holding the hearings in the site where there is no impact, that's further insulting to us. Okay. All that said, if I may, the folks that I've spoken to are opposed to this. They don't want this. We were all under the impression that 10-foot space is what was allowed to us. On a regular basis, we're having vehicles come screaming through that parking lot at all rates of speed, stunting. We have tractor trailers coming in. It's becoming a quick stop. I've had all sorts of vehicles coming in there, from cattle trailers to heavy loads. I've called the city. The city's informed me that it's not their issue because it's not their property. So what I'm asking for is, don't reward developers by allowing them to continue with the overdevelopment. Parking is not the issue. And if you, Councillor Havlicek, were to take the time to go down the street and talk to the 25 residents, and I realize that may seem like a small portion of your constituents.
Sir, just before you go on, in terms of the process, what happens is, because it's a public hearing, we can't speak and give you our opinion on it because we're like judges, right? So we're going to make a decision on it. So to be fair, Councillor Havlicek, can't be, going out and speaking to things because she's got to sit as a judge to kind of independent on these items. So to be fair, that it is a process, but the process is there in place to have independence, right? So you can make a decision. So fair, that is the process here at City Hall. And just to address the other issues, we have changed a bit of our zoning. We put the signs up, and we try and have enough time for people to get all the right information. I believe there is notification in terms of when the report does go online, but we have changed making the signs even bigger so people can see them. They know when there's going to be some changes to the zoning, that sort. So to be fair, it is a very similar process to what other cities are doing, but points taken in that respect.
All right. With that said, my position and the position of the those that are around me that live in the area is that the developer should be made to actually develop the space that he's permitted to by the zoning bylaws that are in place. Those bylaws and that zoning was put in place for a reason. To suggest that the city should vary it now, I really question that, because there's been nothing that's changed as far as the number of residents there. What has changed, however, is the volume and the intensity of the development within the area. That is something that will not be addressed by increasing the footprint for the developer. All that's happening now is the developer has a larger space, and he's admittedly said so, to develop the space above and beyond what the zoning bylaws allow for. To reward him or any developer for that is wrong. The city should be making him amend it, put in the space that the bylaws call for and the zoning calls for, so that we, as residents, can enjoy the privacy of our property with reasonable safety and coexist with the developers. This is not a case of what Mr. Olson told me of NIMBYism, not in my backyard. It is in my backyard. I'm not opposed to development. I'm for responsible development. To develop the property above and beyond what the zoning and bylaws allow for is irresponsible, and it is really insulting to the taxpayers of that area.
Fair points. Mr. Wilson did mention that, in terms of some of the park, is parking isn't your issue, you're saying?
Parking is not. Quite frankly, I don't care how many cars the local businesses can afford for parking.
Yeah.
That's not my issue. I said to Mr. Olson that one of the things that should be done is that local businesses should be in a position to consult and collaborate with the residents to mitigate any risks or concerns that we may have. There's been no attempts, as far as I can see, whatsoever, to approach 25 residents to say, here is the environmental design that we're proposing. What he has suggested to me is that he's going to put in walkways. The walkways within the Keniston Common area, they're non-existent. We're just waiting for a collision to happen there between a pedestrian that's having to walk on the street there. Nobody's prepared to actually do that. So to hear a developer say that he's acting in the interest of the community, let's not suggest that, because that's not what development is about. Development on a commercial basis is there to actually enhance the profitability of these companies. Now, that entire area is very intensely developed commercially. Obviously, the commercial industry there is doing their due diligence on doing market assessments to determine where to put buildings. I would ask that the city do the same due diligence, start to take a look at their planning as far as what they're allowing for it, and ensure that developers are in compliance with the zoning bylaws. Again, I have to reiterate, this is not something that should be allowed. Once you go down this road, then you're going to be doing that with everybody else. And that really causes me to question, you know, if we have bylaws and zoning in place, and it can be varied and amended at any time, it causes me to question why we even bother. And if we can allow for the developers to actually seek a variance and an amendment to the bylaws to their benefit, can we as residents ask the city for a variance and amendment to the bylaws so that we can change the zoning from C4 to C2? Because that's another thing that I learned through my discussions with your planning office, was that that area there was initially zoned as a C2. It was then upgraded to a C4. Now, I'm not a developer. Neither are the residents there. But this is where some public awareness and education on the part of the city would have been beneficial. People walk by, they'll see a sign that says public notice variance from C2 to C4. They don't care because they don't know what it's about. You can call it apathy, you can call it whatever you want.
To be fair, I'm just talking about process, whether you know your position or not. To be fair, yes. The city does advertise it, right? So we do advertise it in the papers.
There is
a normal process that you do go through in terms of anyone can apply for a variance on a property or anything else. It's entirely within your right or within the developer's right to do as such. At that point, the city makes a determination in terms of does it make sense for the community. They give a recommendation, and then we as the political body make the final determination. So it doesn't necessarily mean we need to follow what the administration has said.
That's a point taken. Now, you brought up the advertisement in the newspapers. Right. Which newspapers was this one advertised in? Because I picked up the Southwester. In fact, I have a copy of the most recent edition of the Southwester.
I think it was the Free Press in Winnipeg. So
okay.
If I
was looking at true investment and creating public awareness, I would not put it in the Winnipeg Free Press and the Sun. Which local media actually has door-to-door distribution? If the city can't distribute this information to us through the mail, then why wouldn't you put it in the Southwester? You know, I've got a copy of the most recent Southwester here that actually has an advertisement from the city notifying me about my taxes. But there was no advertisement as far as this goes. And in fact, when it came time for the advertisement on the bulletin board said that this hearing was going to be on Tuesday, June 9th. I had to call because I wasn't sure which year that was going to be, because it's obviously not this year. So, you know, when we're talking about the advertising, here again, due diligence, proofread, and, in my opinion, seek out the most effective media format.
Well, I guess we can argue this back
yes,
and forth.
Yes, true.
You know, the reality is the cities have parameters of how they set the advertisements forward. We went through a process, and probably as, you know, if you're at City Hall, you know that we're going through the process. But we have made some, you know, substantial changes, just to put on my defense city hat in terms of the consultation process a little bit. To be fair, those are the two biggest dailies that we have in the city of Winnipeg, right? And so it is advertised. I don't know what day it goes in. I think it's Tuesdays or so. But and they do have signs that they're posted, so there's time frames in terms of when they can do it, and we've made the signs actually even bigger. So, you always want to have more public consultation. That's a part of it. I would argue that we're well within, what other cities are doing in terms of that consultation.
Yes.
Back to the point, and we're a little bit off topic here.
Yes.
Just in terms of the variance side of things, I guess your argument is that it's overdeveloped anyways, but we're looking at the actual clause in terms of 10 feet instead of the 25 feet.
Correct.
Subject to the following conditions. You probably read through the report.
I have read them, yes.
So It sounds like your argument is that you believe that it's
You have to allow for the perpetuality of that zone, because that's the only thing that you can count on. You can't count on the developer to remain consistent. So what Mr. Olson, and I'm not questioning his credibility or his integrity, he may very well follow through with what he's saying.
Right.
However, on the other hand, there's nothing stopping the next person from coming along, from my understanding of what I've been told to that C4 zoning area, to prevent the next developer to take it to the next level, and all of a sudden it's changed the whole footprint. Right. Essentially what it comes down to is we allow for development based upon the footprint that the zoning and the bylaws afford. We should not be permitting for it to go beyond that. And if that is what's being considered, then I think, out of fairness to everybody that borders along that area, there needs to be further public consultation, but not of this type, because there's not anybody that's really taken the time to really look at it. Those that I have spoken to, like I say, there is a certain degree of apathy, but I'll have to tell you, there's also a greater degree of resignation, because people that I've spoken to have said they're going to do it anyway, so why bother?
Right. How long have you lived with the residents?
I've resided there for 3 years now.
Okay.
And so that's why I say when I bought there, it's not that I'm against development.
Yeah.
I went in there with my eyes wide open.
Right.
I moved here from Ottawa.
Okay.
So I lived in a similar area.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I can assure you is that there was much better communication between the local businesses and the residents.
Okay.
We knew what was going on.
Right.
Here we don't. And, you know, this whole idea of asking for a variance when the cat's already out of the bag, I mean, it shouldn't be like that. What the city should have been doing is they should have been stepping up to the plate, and they should have said, you know what, Mr. Olson, we apologize. You know what, you bought this property, you may have bought it in good faith. However, this mistake has to be corrected. I suggest, as the city suggested to me on other things, is that go after the previous owner that sold you the property. If you've got something that you have a bone of contention with as far as how much space you've actually purchased, that's not a city issue. It's a city issue as far as not exercising due diligence on the inspection of the site. But as far as any civil litigation and any remedies to that, that goes back to whomever they bought it from. And that's who I suggest Mr. Olson and his company go to. It should not be on the backside of the residents of that area. We should be able to have that space that we are entitled to as far as a buffer, and it should be respected. It shouldn't be rewarding.
Fair point.
Okay, well, thank you. Is there any questions, Councilor?
No, I think you've made your case quite clear.
Okay, thank you very much, Gary.
Thank you.
Okay, the next one is Karen, is it Corver? Okay, great. Did you just want to register? And, oh, you're together? Okay, yeah. You register as in opposition to Karen's.
I'm a resident.
Okay. Steve Prunka, is that right? Steve, are you here? Sorry? You're
Robin?
Okay, sorry. Sure. Is there anyone else that's here to register or speak in opposition to both the variance as well as the variance in the zoning agreement changes? No? Okay, so we'll call the applicant back up, Mark, and Kevin, you guys want to come up? And once again, this is an opportunity to, I guess, address any concerns that were brought up, so not really an opportunity to introduce any new evidence, new information.
Yes, there are a couple of things, obviously, as part of this new process, which is obviously more available to the public than it was before. I mean, I've been a developer for 27 years, and it is a better system. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not sure if there is such a thing, but I will address a couple of Mr. Edgar's points right off the bat. He talked about rewarding the developer by giving him these changes to the variance and to the ZAA. Well, when we purchased the property with an existing zoning agreement, which tells us how much space we can build.
Yeah.
Now, the contemplation of how much space we are allowing ourselves or looking to build is dramatically less, and we've been sharing this with the planning department, sort of letting them know what we're going, and we've been working on site plans to try and make it as consumer-friendly and people-friendly as we possibly can, including three new pedestrian corridors on site, landscaping on site, separating the pedestrian walkways from roadways.
Do those go right along the edge, or does it go in
the,
like, where
some
does
of them go through the okay. parking lot,
yeah.
some of them along the edge of the parking lot. And when we talk about rewarding the developer, we have certain rights as property owners, no matter who it is, doesn't have, it can be a residential property, you know, they have particular rights. And we're looking at this, the development we're talking about here, we're well under what is permitted by the City of Winnipeg to develop on this site. We're not looking to overdevelop. We're not trying to vary the C4 to C2 or vice versa. This is not that type of issue. This is an issue where we're saying we have the permission currently to develop the amount of space we want to develop. We're not here asking you to do that. We're trying to say we're trying to make the site plan work better that allows more on-site parking, keeping the parking on-site. So we already have the right to build this space. We're not asking for more. We're going to build much less than is actually permitted right now. And if you'd like to confirm that with the planning department, because we've had this discussion on many points. So.
We'll wait till you're done.
Yeah, okay.
We'll discuss the administration part.
The comment of we don't know what's going on. I guess the problem is here, I can understand the residents, and we all live in areas where we don't want something going right beside us, and I totally understand that. Being a developer, we're introduced to that concept quite a bit, and we deal with these issues pretty regularly, and it is a concern. But this particular hearing is not here dealing with the development on site. And I know a lot of the points are going to the development of the site. We're saying we're looking to try and make it better. There is a parking lot that already exists 4 feet into the 20-foot rear yard. It exists. I'm not sure how many complaints the city has received before this point right now. Because that 20 feet is actually 16 feet, it actually has been in existence since the start of this theater, and it's well landscaped with mature pictures, which I give you copies of. So when we start saying things like, we don't know what's going on, when it pertains to the application we have in front of you, it's available on the internet. You could ask questions of the planner, which I understand they did. And really, I see what we're asking for is an enhancement of the site, and which include on-site parking in the parking lot area and enhanced landscaping beside the building to the west, which allows screening of the buildings should they go there. Because we haven't signed any deals. We're still developing a property. We're looking for tenants.
When you talk about enhanced landscaping, what do you mean by that, Mark?
We'll have to come back and do a Schedule A approval for any new building we'd want to get on the site, which would include a fully defined plan of what kind of landscaping would include, which is, which include elevations, landscaping plan, parking plan. And on site, we actually have submitted a sort of, it's an older plan because the renditions continue on and on as we go forward. And we actually sign a deal. We'll come forward to this committee and actually seek a Schedule A approval for the new user, which will include a more detailed landscape plan.
Yeah.
But we are committing to doing much more, and there is a fair amount of landscaping drawn on the site. Currently, there are four trees and a 25-foot sodded grass area, which you can see on the drawings, the pictures that I dropped off here. We want to enhance that.
Okay.
Increased development was the other comment. Well, we're not increasing development. We are well within what we have rights to currently. And that's all I can say to that. There was a comment about acting in the best interest of the community. Well, I don't want to say I'm not acting in the best interest of the community. We have issues that we work with the planning department to try and circumvent all these problems and try to mitigate any kind of problems that we have. We have ways of doing some of these things there's push and take to try and get this thing where we can actually make it make sense. We have some commercial issues on site that we have to deal with, which are our own business, but then there are the bylaws and laws that we have to deal with. That's why we're here today. So as we speak, we're talking about increased development. We're not talking about reducing parking within the current zoning bylaw we have. We're trying to enhance it. We're trying to enhance the landscaping. We're trying to make it safer. We're trying to make it more pedestrian friendly. All the things that your planning department has requested from us, and we've actually put on drawings ourselves, and we have tried to address those issues.
Yep.
And I've talked to their property managers that have managed this property before. They've never received a complaint about people parking 16 feet from the edge of the property line as opposed to 20 feet. To go and change 4 feet of asphalt and just put sodding there and move the curbing 4 feet back, this is where we ran into what makes sense, what doesn't make sense, and we try to rectify it with other things to beautify the site and add some safety and pedestrian corridors. Those are the things that we've added to try and circumvent this problem.
Right. And so the site work does come back here at some point. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it does.
Would there be a willingness? I mean, you obviously had some consultation as a part of it, but I mean, with some of the site work, so there seems to be some concerns of the residents, whether it's overdevelopment or trees or whatever else that could go on there. Is there some sort of willingness to work with the community to develop a plan that makes some sense?
Well, I guess what I could say, Mr. Chairman, is that we, as developers, when we bought the property, we read the development agreement, and we knew right then what we're allowed to do.
Yeah.
So we basically... We know we can do so much site coverage. It's part of our mathematical equation we look for trying to do this thing. And we know there are things that we need to do to enhance the site, which are the landscaping and then beautification or the things that we've actually added in the current drawing. So it's not that we wouldn't talk to people, but for me to say as a developer that, I'm going to commit to doing that, well, we have certain rights right now. And to be able to say, well, we're going to go to these 25 residents and say, do you want to see a restaurant here? Do you want to see... a bank here? Do you want to see whatever here? It doesn't serve the purpose of what...
I didn't mean that in terms of what development would happen, but in terms of trees or anything else that would...
Oh, yeah. When we're talking about landscaping and trees, we don't have a problem with that. That's something we certainly have working...
Yeah. You're allowed to do whatever you can in terms of the zoning. I'm not suggesting that.
Yeah.
I'm suggesting if there's trees or ferns or anything else like that, that's something that would come back to the site plan.
Yes. The answer is yes to that. Those type of things are nothing's built in stone with that. We'd try to work with our neighbors, and that's not something that I would back away from. That's certainly something that I would entertain.
Okay. Councillor Haversbeck, do you have any questions?
I guess I want to try to find a happy medium. I mean, I've seen the site plan. I pushed you to have more landscaping in there, I think, and more of a walkway.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'd like to see us be able to meet somewhere in the middle with the concerns that were raised today. And the concerns were that, there was the feeling that the city was not doing its due diligence. And actually, the second we'll ask the planner some questions. But do you have some willingness to make some modifications along the way as we go?
Well, the reason we applied for this this number of feet on site is that we took the buildings we're working with. We have what they call a no-build area. And within that defined area within our site, and that's dealing with our users that we have now, we have an area where we can build. So we say, we're going to build in this area, and they allow us to go up this far. Mm-hmm. That's how we arrived at the 10-foot mark.
I know.
So we took the buildings, and the issue is that when you say a row of parking is 20 feet by another 20 foot, and then an aisle is 20 feet.
Right.
So we take that, and we use that mathematical equation to arrive at exactly how many feet we actually need to move the building into the side yard to actually make that all work, or we move it into the parking lot and we lose. If we move in 3 feet, we actually lose, because our rows have to be 20 feet wide, and we lose a row of parking. That's in this case, it's about, I believe it's, and I don't have the, let me, I do have a, one of the drawings. It's about 19 stalls, and that may not sound like a lot, but that's a fair number of stalls. 19 stalls.
Yeah.
We will work, though, as we've said, with landscaping, beautification, safety, those type of things. But this won't end up with less square feet on the property, no matter if you approve this or not. It'll just end up with less parking. That's all it's going to end up with.
Okay, do you have any further questions? Thank you, gentlemen. Did you have any questions for administration, Councillor Haversbeck?
In terms of your review, I know what the report says, that it meets the requirements that are Winnipeg. Do you have any
I just wanted to clarify that the zoning, this is a C4 property. It was a C2 property, and I guess when their zoning bylaw was recently changed a few years ago, they looked at properties in the area, and there's C4 across the street, so they re-tagged it to C4.
So across the street, across McGilvery, or across Keniston?
Across McGilvery, okay. north of the site. But effectively, because the property already has a zoning agreement, it's effectively operating as a C2 property. Those uses are C2, but the proposed uses aren't. But regardless of whether it's C2 or C4, there's a zoning agreement in place which caps out the maximum developable area of buildings at 140,000 square feet. To compare, the C2 zoning district, which it was zoned without a zone, if it did not have a zoning agreement, there's something called a floor area ratio of 3. So that means the amount of commercial space can be 3 times the footprint of the site. Still got to meet the yards and all that, but if you want to put that into perspective, the site is 7.7 acres in size, which means you could develop commercial at about, you'd still have to meet the yards and the height restriction, so you couldn't get that far, but you could get probably to very comfortably 15 acres worth of development.
So you're saying that the existing
43,000 square feet would be quite a lot. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that if you compare this to any other C2 site or C4 site in the city, the zoning agreement restricts the development capacity on the site way less than it would on any other site that does not have its own.
So you're saying it's well within what would be acceptable for
parking requirements, and again, but these are not issues.
Sure.
They're brought up. They weren't
things missing the street, but the actual issue we're dealing with is two things. We're dealing with the landscape buffer on the south property, and we're dealing with the reduced landscape buffer on the west property line. Those are the issues that we're dealing with today. Parking, to meet the requirements of the existing and all proposed development, would require about 350 parking spaces. What's provided on site after all the development is done is just over 500 parking spaces. So they're well within the requirements of the bylaw.
So they have 500 capacity, 500. What the zoning says, you have to do at least 350.
They're providing 500 because they have an obligation to they're doing it because they want to, because their existing tenant is saying, I don't care what the bylaw says, I want this.
They want more parking.
I want more parking, which is fairly common. But from a city perspective, there's no variance for parking because parking is not...
Yeah. Even though that's not an issue.
It's not an issue here. And to deal with the what's being asked in terms of landscaping, at the back of the property, they were supposed to provide 20 feet. For whatever reason, it's 16 feet. It's got a nice mature stand of trees. So we can either make them add back the 4 feet, or we could just let it stay as a 16 feet, which effectively would probably be the same thing. The trade-off is that instead of providing that 4 feet, they're offering to provide landscaping in certain places throughout the parking lot. Similar to the west property line, they're required to provide 20 feet. There's a 20-foot wide area that's basically grass. What they're proposing to do is convert that to 10 feet in width, but add landscaping there. So is it 20 feet with nothing, with just grass, or is it 10 feet landscaping?
And Mr. Olson talked about this pedestrian corridor. Is that what you're talking about in terms of so that was... And add on. They obviously didn't have to do that, but they did that, is what you're saying?
Well, we like our developments to do that. And anytime we have plan approval, like any development will have to come back to this committee for review. And we really, really trying to push developers to provide good pedestrian linkage so that people can, there's a bus stop there, they can come off the